Welcome back, and thank you for joining us for Section 2 of our discussion of specialized dairy issues. In the first segment, we concluded a discussion about Gewinas Akkum, non-certified cheese. However, kosher cheese, referred to as Gewinas Yisrael, itself is a subject of dispute. There's one opinion, that of the Ramah most notably, which states that there must be rabbinic supervision of the cheese-making process. The reason for this is, as was mentioned earlier, the entire reason for the Isser of Gewinas Akkum, the prohibition of non-supervised cheese, is lest a non-kosher coagulant, a non-kosher rennet from a calf, be used in the cheese-making. Well, if there's on-site supervision to make sure that only kosher rennet, normally artificial, non-animal-based rennet, is used, then we've taken care of that concern. Therefore, as long as there's on-site rabbinic supervision, the cheese is considered kosher. This is the position, as I mentioned, of the Ramah, the Rambam, Maimonides, and the Perish HaMishnayos, the Noda B'Yehuda, the Aruch HaShulchan. They all ascribe to this position, and there is a Tshuvas HaRashba, which is quoted as also adopting this approach. However, there's another well-known position on what's required to make Gewinas Yisrael, kosher cheese. And this position requires that the rabbinic supervisor personally add the rennet to the milk to make the cheese. It's insufficient for him to be present to watch and make sure that the rennet, the artificial rennet usually used, is non-kosher. The rabbinic supervisor must himself put the rennet into the cheese. Whether he puts a pail of rennet into the cheese, as in old-fashioned cheese companies, or whether he activates the rennet feeder, the automatic equipment that injects the rennet into the cheese vat, into the milk, in any case, the supervisor, the mashkiach, must himself be the one who sets the vat of cheese, who makes the cheese, by putting in the rennet. This is the position of the Shach in Yoredeya, of the Gro, the Vilna Gaon, the Chochmas Adam, and I believe the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, as well as the Tur and the Mechaber in the Shulchan Aruch, also ascribe to this position. The reason for this position, as the Vilna Gaon explains, is that just as the prohibition of Pas Akkum, of non-supervised bread, and Bishel Akkum, non-supervised cooked foods, require the Mashkiach, the supervisor, to himself personally participate in the creation of the food. He must light the fire, or he must cook or bake the food. So too in the case of cheese making, the Vilna Gaon mentions that the Mashkiach, the rabbinic supervisor, must personally be involved in creating the food. Supervising it is not sufficient. If one supervises bread being baked and is not a participant in the manufacture, it's not called Pas Yisrael. It's not called rabbinically supervised kosher bread. So too in the case of cheese. And the Vilna Gaon brings support from a Tosefta as his source for this idea. We discussed earlier whey being a byproduct of cheese. Since whey is a byproduct of cheese and is not cheese itself, it's actually the subject of a special rabbinic leniency according to most positions. This leniency is that even if the cheese curd is Gewinas Akkum, it did not have special rabbinic supervision or participation in its creation, nevertheless, the whey that comes out of this curd is not a problem. It's kosher automatically. Chazal, our sages, only decreed on the curd. The curd is the area that we have concern of being formed through a non-kosher coagulant. The whey, which is not a coagulated product, is still a pure liquid product. It's the excess milk that did not form into cheese, was never subject to this gezeirah, this decree. However, there are still some regulations that cover whey. Not all whey is kosher. Even though each of these is a subject of dispute, I'd like to put forth what the OU's position is on whey, and this is the position of all the other national kosher agencies as well. Number one, all ingredients in cheese must be kosher, of course. If there is a non-kosher rennet derived from an animal, non-kosher animal source, would not itself be discernible in the whey. Nevertheless, the OU's position is that any ingredient going into the production of any product must be kosher, and therefore the rennet must be kosher. The rennet plays an important role in cheese making, and therefore the rennet must be kosher. So too, the temperature of the cheese vat must be below Yad Soletus Bo, below a high temperature that transfers taste. Because, as was mentioned, if the cheese curd is Gewinas Akkum, any hot contact it will have will render that which it contacts as non-kosher. And therefore, the whey that had contact with the curd must be at a temperature below Yod Soletis. For this reason, most cheeses that are Gvina Sakum have kosher whey. Cheddar cheese, Munster cheese, Edam cheese, Gouda cheese, mozzarella cheese, usually provolone cheese, have kosher whey as their byproduct, because these cheeses are made at cooler temperatures. It might not be cool in terms that you and I would refer to as cool, but in cheese making, these are cool temperature cheeses, made at temperatures in the 90s or in the low hundreds. However, other cheeses, such as Parmesan cheese and Swiss cheese, that are made typically at very high temperatures, usually have whey that is not certifiable as kosher, because this whey in the vat, when the cheese is made, has very hot contact with the hot cheese curd. There is new technology currently which enables companies to manufacture some cheeses at lower temperatures, and therefore their whey is more likely to be certified than in previous years. However, this is still a fluid situation, and things will be changing over the foreseeable future. So, too, cooker water. As I mentioned, cooker water is non-kosher as it has hot contact with the cheese curd. Cooker water cannot have any contact with whey. In OU-certified cheese companies, in fact, any cooker water that's produced has to be disposed of in a fully verifiable fashion. A company that the OU supervises cannot have cooker water being processed and being maintained for other purposes in the plant or for sale. The cooker water has to be diverted directly to the drain in a verified way and not be recirculated or stored in the plant under any circumstances, because cooker water is very similar, is compatible to whey, and in fact, non-certified cheese plants typically incorporate their excess cooker water back into their whey because these are two compatible materials. But because they're so compatible, the OU does not tolerate cooker water use or accumulation in its facilities whatsoever if the whey is to be certified. There are some other dairy materials which are kosher sensitive due to the concern of compatibility or contact with Gvina Akum and its derivatives. For example, cream, which we mentioned earlier, is the fat content of milk, is compatible with whey cream, which is the fat content of whey. Due to the fact that whey can be non-kosher, whey cream can be non-kosher, and therefore cream, which normally regular milk cream, which normally is an innocuous, always kosher material, suddenly becomes an issue because it's compatible with whey cream. And as was mentioned earlier, cooker water can be put through a separator, and its cream, which is definitely non-kosher, is also used by some cheese companies. Therefore, the bottom line is that cream, any type of cream, has to be carefully scrutinized and reviewed as to its kosherness, because whey cream is often mixed into sweet cream, into regular cream for milk. They often share equipment, and cooker cream often makes its way into cream sources as well. So too, whey, as I mentioned, is very kosher sensitive, and its derivatives, such as whey protein concentrate and lactose, share the same kosher sensitivities as the whey. In many countries, especially in Europe, kosher lactose is not readily available, not widely available, because in these countries, cheesemaking is typically done with non-kosher animal rennet. And there are cheeses in these countries that are made at very high temperatures or with other technology which raises the vat temperatures to affect the kosher status of the whey. Therefore, the whey and the lactose and the whey protein concentrate in these countries is more of a kosher concern. We did not yet address, which I'd like to speak about for a few minutes, casein. Casein, as I mentioned, is milk protein. However, many companies process casein, milk protein, as a separate component, not making it into cheese. In other words, very often casein is separated out of milk and is curdled or accumulated into masses in a fashion other than in a manner in which it does not form a cheese curd, but it forms casein curd. There are two types of casein, just like there are two types of cheese, acid casein and rennet casein. If one puts hydrochloric acid into milk, the casein particles will precipitate out of the milk and form acid casein. So too, if one puts rennet into milk, under certain circumstances, the rennet will cause a precipitation and a coagulation of the casein particles in the milk, And these particles will make rennet casein. Casein basically is the pure milk protein. It does not contain any fat or any lactose. It's just pure protein. And it's not usable in its raw state. Acid casein, which is totally insoluble, is a very important ingredient for many nutritional supplements. Infant formulas almost always contain acid casein. Many health drinks and shakes contain acid casein, and other fortified foods contain acid casein. In order to use acid casein, however, the acid casein must be made soluble. It's insoluble in its raw state. The way to do that is to add alkali solutions to the acid casein, which will form caseinate, which are casein salts. These caseinates, these casein salts, are soluble forms of casein that can be used in many food applications, such as those discussed. So too, rennet casein, as was mentioned, is casein particles that have coagulated into a curd absent lactose and absent fat. Cheese is a matrix which contains a lot of fat and some lactose. However, rennet casein does not contain these materials. It's pure casein. Rennet casein is primarily used in the manufacture of imitation cheeses because it has a very hard, gelatinous type of texture, which is ideal to make as close as possible an imitation of cheese. But again, it doesn't have any fat or lactose, which for many is a health benefit. Acid casein, according to the OU's policy and the policy of most kosher agencies, doesn't require any special supervision as long as the equipment being used is kosher, and the ingredients, which are just milk and hydrochloric acid, are kosher, of course. Rennet casein, similar to hard cheese making, requires rabbinic supervision and rabbinic participation in its production. Acid casein, which normally is kosher, has only one special kosher concern, which is that it often shares equipment with rennet casein. Many casein factories manufacture acid and rennet casein on the same equipment under hot temperatures, and therefore these facilities have to undergo specialized kosherization processes prior to making kosher materials. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great day.